If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. We're going to look down in chapter number 12 for a moment. The book of Genesis, chapter 12. And it'd be great if we started out the very first Sunday of the year. Let's honor the Lord by turning our cell phones off and on vibrate and make sure we keep them out of our hands. I've got my cell phone with me. Look at this. Ready? It's in my back pocket. Okay. But let's keep it out of our hand so we're not tempted to look at it. And maybe you have the Bible on your phone or something. Anyway. So Genesis chapter 12, that would be a blessing. Genesis 12, and we're going to look at just several verses here. And someone asked me a while back, they said, why is our church a little different than other churches? I said this, not trying to be smart aleck, we still use the Bible. You know, there's churches all over the Bay Area today. They won't open the Bible or read one verse at all. I have no idea why they're even having church. I mean, it's all politics, it's all opinions, it's science, it's not the Bible. We need the Bible. That's what we need. It's the Bible. Genesis 12, looking down in verse number 1, please. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, and later on he changes his name to Abraham, so if I slip up and say that, you'll understand. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. You know the nation, Israel. And I will bless thee. How would he bless them? They would write the Bible. The Savior would be born in that nation. That's how he would. And then he would bless the world with all of that. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great. How would he make Abraham's name great? Three major religions claim him. Judaism, Christianity, Islam. They all trace their roots back to Abraham. His name is blessed. You'll meet people all over the world named Abraham. What a name. And verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's why if you look at nations who have aligned with the nation of Israel, not to get political, this is Bible. Any nation that has blessed Israel has been blessed. Any nation that has cursed and given Israel a hard time has been cursed. So even though Israel's not a perfect nation, we want our country on Israel's side because we've got the promise of a blessing. Then look down into verse number 7. So God was speaking. Now notice the response of Abraham. 12:7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. Verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar. Then if you'll skip down to chapter 13, verse 18. And this is after Lot leaves him, if you know the story, 13:18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And then one last verse, all the way over to chapter number 22, and we'll refer to all these, we'll tie it together in just a few moments, but chapter 22, and this is after he offers his son. He is offering his son as a supreme sacrifice to God, and God intervenes and rescues his son. But Genesis 22 and verse number 19, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. I want to speak on this subject today. The first thing we need to build in 2023, an altar. An altar. I'll explain what that means and apply it. I think it'll be a help to us today. Father, bless now this great crowd of people. You call it a church, a called out assembly. You said that you would be present right in the middle of your church. So we're asking that we sense your presence today. Speak to us. Our words are not important, but yours are. So would you speak as I speak and tell us just what you would have us to hear from your heart. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Our theme, as we said on the banner there, is building and rebuilding. That is the theme of the entire Bible. You see in Genesis, God teaches people how to build a marriage, and then how to build a home, then how to build a nation, then how to build a ministry. Book of Acts, how to build a church. God is a builder. The Bible says, he that built all things is God. He's a builder. Satan is a destroyer. God is a builder. He wants to build something and create something. The word build means to form uniting materials according to a plan. So God has a plan for our life. He is building you to be a blessing to others. He said to Abraham, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to the entire world. So it's not just about us. It's God wants to build us so we can be a blessing. It's why he has left us here. And that's what the Bible is all about. In the Old Testament, he is called the builder. In the New Testament, it says, for we are his workmanship. So God is working on us. I love that little children's song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a day to make the moon and stars, da 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 da, and Jupiter and Mars. How special to God I must be. He's still working on me. So you may say, Pastor, what's God doing in my life? I may not know the details, but I can tell you this by faith. He's working on you. He's building you. He's not finished with you. We have a lot of contractors in our church. Some of them, it's new construction. Some of them, it's called remodel or repair. Sometimes you'll see our price per hour is this, our price to fix something is this, our price to repair what you tried to fix is this. It's always messy at a construction site. There's sawdust, there's broken pieces of boards, there's material, there's equipment. It's messy. And sometimes our lives look real messy. How come? Because God's building us. He is working on us. So who is this man, Abraham? Who is he? Three world face claim him. He's called the friend of God in the Bible. He's mentioned in numerous entire chapters in the Bible. He is called the friend of God. He's called the man of faith. The Bible says he believed God. He believed God. What do you mean, Pastor? Before we can ever be built and God build our life, we have to believe God when he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to believe God where it says, he who made all things is God, he is the creator. We have to believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to believe, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, that it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Before we can ever be built of God, we have to believe God. We have to believe that he is the Savior. He'll save anyone who calls on his name. He'll change them. He'll give us eternal life. It's true. You're not going to follow anybody if you don't believe them. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Who is Abraham? He's the one that founded with God the nation of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his grandson's name would be turned to Israel, but it was Abraham that God gave the promise to. Now, what's so special about him? We must hasten. He built altars. He built altars. What was an altar, Pastor? Here's what it was. Those going to Israel will see Israel is a place, a land filled with rocks. Now, we've got hills around Napa here, but it's not the same as Israel. You walk up those hills and it just seems like there are millions and millions of softball-sized rocks. What was an altar? An altar was simply someone that would take rocks that God made to build a makeshift barbecue-looking pit. They would just stack these rocks, maybe put some tree limbs across it. Then they would take an animal that God gave them, sacrifice the animal as a place of giving, as a place of fellowship, as a place of prayer, as a place of thankfulness. God made all the materials. It wasn't about Abraham. It was all about God. But it was a spot where Abraham says, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I love you. You're special to me. I honor you. You're important to me. He always built altars. You see, several times that we notice here in Scripture, he built altars. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? He built an altar when God spoke to him. He built an altar when one of his relatives went south and went a different direction away from God. So during a time where he chose God and a close friend didn't choose God, Abraham still built an altar and said, you're still number one to me. My heart is broken for my relative, but you're still number one. That's when he built an altar. And later on, God says, I want you to take your only son, Isaac, lay him on an altar. I want you to give him to me just like an animal sacrifice. Well, Abraham knew the promise. One day Jesus would come and be the Savior. So he knew if he did take his son's life, God would have to raise him from the dead. But he still laid his son on that altar and was willing to give it all. So what was happening here? God was watching Abraham, who enjoyed spending time with him. That was the altar. That was what the altar was all about. You say, well, Pastor, how did it affect him? So here's Abraham. He spends time with God. He builds an altar, gives something to God, spends time with him. How does it affect him? How will it affect us? Number one, it gave him courage to stand for right. Later on, his nephew is kidnapped. And Abraham says, that's not right. He took a group of men and rescued his nephew Lot. What gave him courage? His altar. I just want to say this. You want to stand for God in an evil day this year? And our country's about as evil as they get these days. 2023, as we are light and our country is darkness. If you're going to have courage to stand for right and stand amongst wicked people and stand up for Jesus at work and stand up for Jesus among relatives, you'll have to have an altar. People who don't have an altar, you go with the flow, you follow the crowd, you have no backbone. Someone said the only thing in the middle of the road is dead skunks and yellow lines. Well, it ought to be some Christians who have a backbone that can stand for right. And what will help you with that is having a time with God, an altar that is just you and God, and you're spending special time with him. It'll stiffen your backbone. Number two, how did it affect him? It gave him a priority. God is more important than money. Somehow, he didn't have to learn that in a classroom. So here's Abraham. He rescues his nephew Lot. And then the enemy kings say, let us give you money and thank you for rescuing us. He said, I don't want your money. And I want to say this. Jesus made this statement. No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or cling to one and reject the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or you cannot serve God and money. Abraham settled it a long time in his heart. He said, I want you more than I want stuff. I want you more than I want things. And his family felt like they were more important than money. When I was a kid growing up, my dad did not have those priorities. Job was more important than kids. Money was more important than marriage. Money was more important than children. And we felt it. But you know, God can turn that around and make it so family feels like we're number one. We're number one. Job's not, money's not, things aren't. We're number one. Okay, it's kind of quiet. Look, you can hear an ink pen. Okay, you can hear a pin drop. Okay. So what happened here? How did this altar affect him? It gave him a heart to help others. Here is Lot. And his nephew Lot was just bent on destruction. Abraham rescues him from a wicked city. All right, he dusts him off. Now, son, get right. Soon as he can, he moves right back in with those wicked people. He was just bent on destruction. He couldn't choose the right crowd. But guess what? Abraham is still standing with the Lord, begging God to save Lot, his nephew. His relative that was bent on destruction, his relative that was bent on addiction, who looked like he just kept going the wrong direction. Abraham's praying for him. Who gave him that heart? God did. Where do you get a heart like that? You get it at your altar, your daily altar. Time with the Lord makes you interested in others, not just you. Someone says, well, you know, my life's all messed up, Pastor. Well, it may be because you're all focused on you. And it may be it's all about money. And maybe it's not about God. And you wonder why it's not all turning out. Altar's altar. God says, hey, Abraham, I'm going to use you to change the world. Everyone's going to honor your name. But if you just spend time with me on a regular basis, it'll change everything. We may not need a psychiatrist, but we do need an altar. We may not need counseling, but we do need an altar. We may not need therapy, but we do need an altar. Time with the Lord alters. It alters our thinking. It alters our attitude. It alters our priorities. It alters everything. Abraham had an altar. Maybe late last night you were thinking like I was. What do I want different in 2023? Someone said insanity is to do the same thing and expect different results. If you do the same things you did this year, guess what? At the end of 2023, expect the same results. Got to change something. And I want to say that married person, if the marriage isn't going well, you can't change your mate. You can't find some magic potion in New Orleans somewhere and sprinkle it over them while they sleep and they wake up and they're a great mate. But you can pray for them. God can turn a heart. I can't take a heart that's broken or make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can't do that, but God can. It's the personal altar. Pastor, what's the messages? What's the points to the message? I'm almost there. God uses many tools in our lives to build us. He uses sermons. He uses seniors. And I mean people older than us to help us. He uses suffering. But one thing he uses, that's an altar. It'll give you joy. There's joy in the presence, his presence. It'll give you peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It'll give you wisdom. He'll give wisdom to them that ask of him. It'll give you security. David says, he alone is my rock. By the way, we live in a very volatile world right now. Have you noticed? China, he's meeting with Putin. They want to team up. That's two powers that will attack Israel during the tribulation period. We live in a day when bad is good and good is evil, and you're the bad guy if you want your kids to learn at school. Curriculums have changed and the standards are different. Everything's different this year. Guess where you're going to get security? At your altar. You turn on the news and the end is near. I know, but you get with the altar and you spend time with the Lord, and you'll find out he's the beginning and the ending. You're fine. As long as you begin with him and end with him, you'll be fine. Anyone can build an altar. Years ago, my dad tried to re-enter our family's life. And when you're not around a parent much of your life, you feel very awkward being around them. just because they have the title or the blood that's in your veins doesn't mean you're going to be close. When you miss all these events and have no memories together, you don't feel close. Many of you are relating. So my dad was home one time, and I was a young boy, and he came in the room, and so I decided to leave the room. And he said, "Son, will you just stay in the room with me? I'll give you a dollar." I look back on that statement years later and I felt, how sad. How sad. "I'll give you a dollar if you'll just spend some time in the room with me. I'm your dad. Will you just hang out?" You know, our Heavenly Father's up in heaven saying, "I give you peace if you just hang out with me a little bit. I got joy for you. I got security. I give you some power to win your loved ones. I give you peace. I give you some things this world can't offer. I'll give you a clear conscience. I'll give you a future with me. Hey, just hang out. I got all kind of stuff to give you." It just comes naturally by just hanging out with him. Abraham, you see his altars all over. Building is slow. You spend time with the Lord, all your problems don't leave that day. I remember when our two-story building was going up, I was so impatient. I thought the day we broke ground, we were supposed to dedicate it the next day, you know. I said, "How come nothing's going on?" I'm talking to the head contractor. He said, "A lot's going on." I said, "I don't see it." He said, "You don't see it till halfway through. It's all in the ground. It's the pipes and the underground and the foundation and the rebar and then the cement and then the electrical and then the fire sprinkler. All this." So sometimes we get impatient. "Lord, I'm spending time with you and I don't see any results." And I don't. You will. Abraham built altar after altar after altar after altar. So what do? Have you a private altar? Everybody's got to have a private altar. What's that mean? A time where you spend alone with your Heavenly Father, just you and Him. All distractions shut out. The closet door closed, so to speak. No interruptions. Cell phone put away. Television off. Nobody around. It's just you and Him. And what do? When you're there, Pastor? You come up with a plan. You tell Him everything in your heart. You tell Him what you're afraid of. You confess your sins to Him. You tell Him how great He is. You thank Him for the blessings that you recognize He's done for you. You look to the future and you ask Him for help. You tell Him everything. Turn off the social media. Get off of some of that kind of stuff. Stop surfing the internet so much. Stop checking to see who's following you. By the way, that's kind of strange. I'm being followed. Stop just following somebody else and start following the altar and spend time with the Lord. Come up with a plan. Get you a Bible. Get you a little prayer journal, a notebook. Just some type of a plan. Get you a couple of bookmarkers. Put them in the Bible. I'm going to start in Genesis. I'm going to start in the book of Matthew. And read some. Have a plan. Get you an ink pen. Just come up with a plan. You don't have to pray like somebody else, "Our Father which art in heaven." You don't have to say, "Thou God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." Just be you. Be you and talk to Him like you'd talk to anybody else. Come up with a plan. Number two, most important, come up with a place. Where's your place? Every Christian ought to have a place where they meet with the Lord every day. Is it in your bedroom? Is it a chair? Is it a couch in the living room? Is it on the back deck? Is it in the car commuting to work? Is it in a park somewhere? You just walk through the park? Where is it? Where's your place? The Bible says that rising up a great while before day, Jesus went into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus had a place.
The Bible says the disciples got up later, but they knew where to find him. The one who was perfect needed to spend time with his heavenly Father. How much more should we? Get this. While he was on the cross, guess what he was doing? Praying. He never stopped his communication with his Father on the cross. Your altars will prepare you for the valleys. Your altars will prepare you for the dark times. Your altars will prepare you for the battles that you face. You have to have it. It's the foundation to life building. I'm done with this. Years ago, a young preacher boy asked a seasoned saint, he said, I want to know God like you know him. How do you really, really get to know God? He said, I feel kind of strange praying. No one's there. He said, here's what I do. And he told the young man, he said, I have two rocking chairs. He said, I sit in my rocking chair and imagine Jesus is in the other one. And every night, I just tell him everything on my heart. And I talk, and then I stop talking and listen. And then I read his word, and I think about it, and then I talk. When I'm all done talking, I go to bed. Well, that young preacher did that, and through the years, God blessed him and used him, and he had God's touch upon his life. Now, as a senior citizen, he was too old to do some of the things he used to do, but he still had his altar with the Lord every night. One night, his wife came out and realized he'd been out there a long time and he hadn't come to bed. Now he's a senior citizen. And she walked out and she saw him in the rocking chair, but he had passed away. And his hand was on his knee as if to say, I'm ready to go. You want to have an altar. If I can leave you with one thought this New Year's morning, it's the most important thing you'll establish in your entire life. You've got to have an altar. Teenager, where's yours? What's your plan? How much do you read a day in the Bible? How long do you talk to the Lord? Single person, where's your prayer place? Where is it? It's just you and God. You have an appointment every day. What time? What place? Hey, Daddy, leader of the home, where's your prayer place? Where's your altar? By the way, Satan will fight your altar more than anything else he'll fight. Even more than coming to church. Why? If he can get you away from your altar, it alters everything in your life. And things stop working. Let me encourage you. Build your altar this year. If you've got away from it, it's time to rebuild it. Rebuild it. If God can use Abraham, he can use you. Where does it start? It starts by building a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never been saved, and you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, today, by faith, receive him as your Savior. That's how you start the new year right. If you've been saved and never been baptized, you get baptized today and start the new year's right. Whatever the need. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. Let's let the Lord speak to our hearts.